Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be honoring to you. Amen. Rewind the clock about 60 years to around 1960 and peer in with me on a family. Richard and his mother had been on their own for a few years when his mom met a man who already had a few kids himself, and Richard's mom and this man were married. They all lived together in a small house on a farm where the parents were farmhands, and their home was part of their pay. Richard was a bigger boy than others his age, but he was also a slow learner, and as he grew stronger, his brain didn't always want to keep up. His new siblings and his stepfather realized right away that Richard was different, and instead of helping him to be successful, they held him down and hurt him, literally and figuratively. When he stumbled, they laughed and made Richard the butt of all their jokes around the dinner table. Richard would go outside and wander the farm fields crying and wondering what he'd done wrong. The thing was, he'd done nothing wrong. He was just born different than most of this new family that was so unkind to him and his mother for fearing losing the roof over her head, and the stability of the small income of two working adults did not lift a finger to defend Richard. As time went by, Richard wasn't sure what to do. If he left, he'd miss his mother and his bed and food every day. But if he stayed, he'd continue to be hurt and called names. By this time, Richard could drive a tractor and throw hay really well. He figured at 14 he could get work on just about any farm that needed a strong boy. So he decided to try to hurt his family as he left, and the only way he knew wouldn't hurt their bodies, but would certainly let them know how he felt. So he woke up before sunrise one summer morning. He went into the pantry where the family kept the honey from the bees they raised, gallons of honey in mason jars, put up for food and also for selling for extra income for the family. He quietly unscrewed the lids of the jars and walked over to the back door where everyone kept their shoes. And into the shoes and all over the shoes, he poured honey. He poured it out and he cried tears right into that honey, thinking to himself, "This is for all the hurt you've heaped on me." The only shoes he didn't fill were his mother's. And then he walked out and never came back. A much older Richard recounted this story for me as we sat in cracked old plastic patio chairs on the dirt floor of his shack one winter afternoon in rural Wisconsin. He looked like he might cry, but he didn't. And then he talked for a bit longer about all the good he'd tried to do with his life since that day. All the tractors he'd fixed, all the hay he'd mowed, and all the people he'd cared about and for. Your story isn't Richard's, is it? And as much as you might not be able to picture yourself pouring honey all over those shoes at the door, I'll bet you know what it's like to hurt deeply. To wish for love in a corner of your life where it does not exist or did not exist. To long for acceptance and community at a time when that has not seemed so possible. To wish for things that are tantalizingly close but just out of reach. Paul knew that we would feel this way. You see, today we celebrate Pentecost, and with it the full incarnation of the Holy Spirit into the lives of Christians, including you and me. And while this may often feel triumphal, it is also just soothing sometimes. You see, last week we celebrated the ascension of Jesus to heaven. Remember, after the resurrection, Jesus abided with the disciples, meeting them behind locked doors, walking with them on the road to Emmaus, eating breakfast with them on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. And now he has risen to abide with God, his Father in heaven, and there is some sadness and loss. A teacher and a friend has gone, and he'll never be back in the same way. He'll still be here, but not to touch his hand or his side or to feel his embrace. And so we're left wondering, what is next? And Paul answers loud and clear that the next step is to accept the Holy Spirit, who has always been here but comes to us through Paul's words with more explanation of some of the facets of what this Spirit is and will do. Paul says that the Holy Spirit comes to us and intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words. The Holy Spirit was with Richard every time his eyes streamed with tears at the cruelty of his new family. And as he poured honey into their shoes and boots and walked out that door, the Holy Spirit interceded when all he had left were tears and sobs. The last 14 months have been so tough for so many of us. We've had so much of our lives turned upside down, and as things keep changing and move slowly back into some semblance of normal, we don't always have words to express our grief at what was lost, as those who died during this time, when we mourn them, when we mourn the accompaniment of people who we couldn't be with. And over this time, many of us have sat at home and wondered, where is God in all of this mess? And Paul has words for the church in Rome and for us. Please listen to them again. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now, and not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but the very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And where does this leave us? Well, it leaves us with hope. Hope that we will someday be adopted by God, who is not unkind, who will not make us feel bad, will love us no matter what, and invite us into life with him in heaven. Hope that there is a family beyond the one we were born into, that here on earth we call that new group of brothers and sisters church. Made up of imperfect people like you and me, who strive to be God's hands and feet in the world. And sometimes, even we who know that we have a place here, we in our weakness still groan with sighs too deep for words. And we ask God to come to us in our weakness through the Holy Spirit and to lift us up when we cannot stand on our own. And I believe that the Holy Spirit, whom Lutherans do not always attend to as much as we might, is alive and well in our midst, gathering us into a community who seeks out the coming of the kingdom of God, and that the Holy Spirit works with fortitude to bring that community about. So in these days of flux and change, I invite you to lean on the Holy Spirit to lift you up when things are just too much. Allow your grief to come out. And when you cannot form the words, know that God knows your heart and will love you in the midst of your pain and bring you into his hope. Amen.